evening, everyone, and greetings to each of you this evening in the Lamb of God, in the name of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a tremendous blessing it is to have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and our sins remembered against us no more. Here in this life, the judgment day, and on into eternity, what a tremendous blessing that is. I want to thank you as a congregation for your northern hospitality that you've shown to us. It's been a blessing to be in your midst. We've been well taken care of by Brother Dennis and his wife. God bless you abundantly for all that you've done for us. And been a blessing to be in your homes and share together in fellowship of the saints. I will have a lot of fond memories of you all here when we go back home, and invite you to come and visit us sometime if you have opportunity. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and being here from night to night and put up with this faltering, stammering preacher. And God bless you for your faithfulness in being here. Just a comment or two I'd like to make in relation to the message this morning. Yet, I shared that message in our home congregation just a few weeks ago, and when our senior deacon, got up to make comments, testimony in the message, he expressed real appreciation for the message, first of all. And then he said, while they were in charge of principal and matron at our Bible school several years ago, the late Brother Richard Herr came and gave a message, a very similar message on exposing the danger of some of the new modern versions. And after the service, they asked for a raise of hands among the young people. How many are using a different version than the King James Version? And he was disappointed how many of our young people were using other versions. So Brother Richard would like to have a meeting with you all of you who are not using the King James Version. He wants to have a meeting with you in the study hall at such and such a time. Which they went, and they sat down around the table, and Brother Richard led them to several verses in the Bible. And shockingly and alarmingly, I guess that's the same thing, isn't it? Thank you for your patience with this preacher. Anyway, surprisingly, the young people say, well, that verse ain't in my Bible. And that's just what is happening in our society today with these modern versions. So my plea with you, all of you, is if you want to have another version just to get a second opinion or to help you understand, if you can understand the King James Version, stay with the version on the left. They're far safer. Remember where they came from. Than the versions on the right. How many of you remember to say good morning to the Lord this morning? Lord bless you. I will probably never ever stand in this pulpit again, probably not. But in the event that I would, don't be surprised if I asked you, even if it's 10 years from now, how many of you said good morning to the Lord this morning? I gave you this exercise for you to continue to work at it until it becomes a habit, so much of a habit that if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you lay there in bed and say, good morning, Lord. It took me a while to get to that place, but it's a blessing just to be so God-conscious. It really is. Oh, almost forgot, children, a little lesson for you. When I was a boy, the church that I went to as a little boy, they built the church the year I was born. I think I told you that a few nights ago. But it was several years later that the men of the church decided they wanted to plant some trees around the parking lot of the church lot. The church lot where I found that monkey gold, remember? They wanted to plant some trees around there, shade trees. And so one day, the brethren from the church went up in the mountains, in somebody's woodland in the mountains, and dug out trees And I got them all ready and hauled them to the church. And on such and such a summer evening, it was decided the brethren will get together and plant these trees. My father asked me if I want to ride along with him and my older brother. And I said, of course. Sure, I'll go along. While I wasn't big enough to handle a shovel and help to plant the trees, I was pretty sure some of my friends would be there. And you know, it's always nice to go where our friends are, isn't it? And so we got to playing. Sure enough, some of my friends were there, and we got to playing and visiting and talking. And the trees were being planted. And in the process of time, my friend's father came and told them they're ready to go home. And after a while, another father came and told my friend, it's time to go. And I looked around and I discovered our truck that we came in was no longer there. I discovered that my father had gone home and forgot to take me along. Guess what I did, boys? I was pretty young. I got pretty sober. And I'm not sure if I cried or not, but I well remember one of the older brethren that lived right beside the church said, Elvin, your daddy went home and forgot you. But I'll take you to my house. This was before the day and age of cell phones, incidentally. I'll take you to my house, and I'll call your dad and tell him where you are. And so I got in his pickup and went to his house, and that didn't feel very good at all. Oh, I remember the insecurity that caused in my heart, my young and tender heart. But I well remember some kind girls in that home. For you see, the time that man got me to his house, his wife had just come home from shopping with the girls, and they had two cardboard boxes about so big. And inside those cardboard boxes were two brand new tricycles. And I will never forget it. I walked into the house very mournful, very sorrowful, and a bit scared and insecure. And the girls started unpacking these tricycles, and their mama said, Joyce and Rhoda, we have a sad little boy here tonight. Why don't we let him ride the tricycles first? And I got the privilege of riding those two brand new tricycles first. That was a wonderful mom, even though she wasn't my mom. But you know what? For years afterwards, I was a very insecure boy. When I went along to my father with to the cattle auctions, and he would get out to unload cattle and have them tagged and so forth, I'd sit in the truck and I'd, is he coming back for me? Is he coming back? Or will I be left here all alone? And then as I reached adolescenthood, I became very insecure when I became aware of the fact that I had transgressed the will of God and I wasn't prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I told you the other night there were many a time I came home and the house was empty. And the first thing that struck me is Jesus had come. Mom and Dad are gone. My older sister's gone. And you know why you were left behind. It had a bearing on the Holy Spirit working on me to the point where I finally, after too many years of wasted, selfish living, surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus, and now I look forward to his coming. Open your Bibles with me to the book that has a special blessing on simply reading it, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. I'd like to share with you tonight a message entitled, The Second Coming of Jesus. Okay? And I have 5 points this evening that all begin with the letter S. the sureness of his coming, the sign of his coming, the secretness of his coming, the swiftness of his coming, and the separation that will take place at the sounding of the trumpet. The last words of Jesus in the Holy Writ, Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus says himself, "Behold," in other words, sit up, pay attention, I'm going to tell you something very important. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And then we jump down to the last red letters in the whole Bible, verse 20, "He which testifieth these things, saith, surely," "surely," or without a question, "surely I come quickly." The sureness of his coming. The prophets declared it. The angels declared it at his ascension. And Jesus himself gave this great declaration to beholds and one, the last one, "Surely, surely I come quickly." And then it says, "Amen." Or "so let it be." Remember, "so let it be." Amen. "Even so come, Lord Jesus," is the response that we should be having from our heart. Secondly, tonight, I'd like to share with you from the pages of the Holy Word some signs that reveal to us the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I'm fully aware of the fact that a lot of preachers will take you to the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, and I used to do that too. But I would say this, the next coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not an ounce of that spoken about in Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24 in its context. In verse 23, it's all about the nation of Israel. And all of those signs that are mentioned in Matthew 24 pertain to things that will happen during the time of Jacob's trouble to bring Israel to its knees to accept the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming with great power and great glory. So we're not going to turn there, but we're going to turn to a whole lot of other scriptures that do speak about his coming for the saints. And we're going to begin in the Old Testament. I invite you to turn to the prophet Daniel. Signs of Jesus coming. Daniel, the 12th chapter. End verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words." Let me talk about this just a little bit, what took place before this. Daniel was fasting and praying. 21 days, what's going to happen to his own Jewish people who were in captivity when the Bible says they're going to be the light of the world to the nations of the and to the Gentiles? And Daniel was puzzled, and he gets some answers as we progress through the book of Daniel. But here he says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." That is, the things that the angel had showed to him are going to happen to his own people in the end of time. "Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." And then he gives two signs of the times of the end. They are, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And I'd like to take those, talk about them briefly in reverse order, because I think this first one is a result of the second one. Knowledge shall be increased. The sign of knowledge increasing. Did you know that statistics tell us that prior to the 1900s, man's knowledge on this earth doubled every 100 years? Every 100 years, I'm not talking about man's wisdom. Knowledge, man's knowledge doubled every 100 years. In 1945, man's knowledge doubled every 25 years. Ask Google today how fast man's knowledge is doubling. You will be shocked to discover Google says between 12 and 17 hours. This is a sign, beloved. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign that knowledge, we can hardly believe that man's knowledge is doubling every half day or a little bit more. But that's what statistics tell us. Every 12 to 13 hours, doubling due to the access of information on the internet. The sign of knowledge increasing. The second one, which was the first one in Daniel 12 and verse 4, many shall run to and fro. There has never been a time that people have been going to and fro on the face of the earth like it has been today. Let me explain. Up until the 1900s, up until the last 120 years or so, man moved about on the face of this earth. The fastest man moved about on the face of this earth was the speed of a horse. From the time of Christ until 1900, man moved about on this globe the speed of a horse. That was the fastest man went. And then man got a little smarter, got a little more knowledge, and they invented a horseless carriage. One of my first bosses, as I remember as a teenager, I will never forget it, he would like to tell me stories of the good old days. And he said he well remembers being in the front yard playing with his brothers, and they heard this noise, strange noise, chitty, chitty, bang, boom, bang, bang, bang. And they looked down the road, and here was coming a carriage without a horse in front of it. The neighbor man had bought a Model T. And the neighbor man stopped right in front of their lawn and he said, "Hey, you Weaver boys, would you like a ride in my horseless carriage? We're going to go down the road so fast that the telephone poles will look like beanstalks." And he said, they went down the road at such a scary speed of 25 miles an hour in that carriage. Wow, that was scary. I have a newspaper at home, Lebanon Daily News, our local newspaper, that gives a story on the front page of someone who was recklessly driving down the country roads in Lebanon County at 35 miles an hour, and they were arrested for reckless driving. But man got a little wiser, and they started going faster. From the speed of a horse to 100 miles an hour, and that still on wheels on the road. 100 miles an hour. And then man got a little wiser, and they took the wheels off of their chariot, horseless chariot, and put jet engines in it and airplanes and took off to the sky. 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 miles an hour. And then man got a little smarter, and they took those jet engines out of their horseless contraption and put rockets in place and took off for space almost 30,000 miles an hour. In the last 100 years, man is going to begin to run. See that word, run? To and fro on the face of this earth. I just read this week that now they've invented and they tried an automobile that doesn't have a driver, went down the road 200 miles an hour, all in preparation, I guess, for people to be able to get in a car without a driver. Man's knowledge increasing, you see, and running around. Just look at the a road atlas, and you will see turnpikes and airports and train stations and train tracks, all in fulfillment of what the scripture says here. Many shall run to and fro on the face of this. Some of the bigger airports, an airplane holding 200 or 300 people leaving somewhere in the world every 55 seconds or something like that. Truly, we are living in a time and age when Jesus may come tonight. Revelation 9, 1 through 11. Write it down, look it up. I'm not going to take the time to turn to it and read it tonight. But we've got monsters in the toy box like we have never, ever, ever had in human history. We've got monsters in the toy boxes today that if they'd have been there when I was a little boy, nobody would have bought them. They are so scary. And the Bible tells in Revelation 9 and verse 1 through 11 of some monsters that come out of the pit during the Great Tribulation period, and they are horrible looking and they do horrible damage. And I really believe Satan is hardening the hearts of the youngsters today in preparation for all of this. I think the time is at hand. Terror in the toy box. Ezekiel 37, the sign of Israel. Jeremiah 31, 8 through 9. The ingathering of the people that God drove into the four corners of the earth, the Jewish people, being gathered together, and the rebirth of the nation of Israel itself is truly a sign that the times of the Gentiles is just about ready to close. Times of the Gentiles, just it's in its closing chapter. There is a prophet, I won't mention his name, who in recent years has given many a prophecy that came true. One of the prophecies that he's waiting to see fulfilled, he claims that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be the last prime minister of the nation of Israel, that the leader that will follow him will be the Messiah. You must understand, Israel is looking for a Messiah, but it's not Jesus who's going to come first. It's the false Christ who will come and promise them peace. The sign of Israel. Revelation 13, the Antichrist is given a worldwide kingdom for 3.5 years. And we are moving very rapidly towards a progression of one world government. They call it the Great Reset. And the nation of Israel is being hated. Anti-Semitism is on the increase tremendously, just like the Bible tells us will happen in Matthew 24 concerning what will happen during the tribulation period. Rapid progression toward one world government. Rome's apostasy, and I already talked about that a little bit this morning. John Paul calling all the departed brethren back home. Pope Francis, his view on divorce, same-sex unions, abortion, Christianity versus Muslim, Bible translations, and the list goes on and on. It's all an indication we're at the closing chapter, friends. We are at the closing chapter of this particular era of human history. Daniel 11, 37 speaks about, gives us an insight into the LGBTQ movement. For the Bible says concerning the Antichrist, he will be without the desire of women. You understand what's happening in the world today? It sheds a lot of light on what is happening in our world in the last 10 years of human history on the face of this earth. Read it for yourself, Daniel 11, verse 37. Revelation 5, 3 through 4. During the opening of the second seal judgment, the Bible says, peace will be taken from the earth and men will kill one another. Right across the road from where we live is a a man and a wife who had a gun shop in our local community for many, many years. In fact, they used to have it right across the road from us, and then later they moved it to Myerstown. One of my recent conversations with him was, I don't know what is happening in the world today, but we have 80-year-old women who are asking to buy high-powered rifles that don't know anything how to operate them. And after they buy them, he said, this is happening over and over and over again. After they buy them, they're asking for a teacher to come to their house and show them how to operate it. And he said, we're seeing something we never seen before. The teachers that teach people how to operate high-powered rifles are booked out 6 months. Never seen the likes, he said. I'll tell you what's happening. The world is shaping up. This chapter of Gentile church history is about to close. Jesus is coming, perhaps tonight. Bear with me. We could turn to Revelation 17, 12, but it's more important that you turn to Daniel 2, verse 42 to 43 and jot it down. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Revelation 17, 12 talks about 10 kings during the tribulation period that gather together to make havoc in the world. Daniel 2, verse 42 to 43 tell us what those 10 kings are going to do. The Bible says they will mingle with the seed of men. That word mingle means they will mix the human race. They will mingle with the seed of men. And let me just expose to you tonight just a few things that scientists are experimenting with the last few years. Perverted DNA, human DNA. They have successfully given rats human kidneys. They have humanized mice. They have pigs with human blood. They have sheep with human livers. Just jot these things down and make a study of them if you want to discover where we're at in relation to the coming of the Lord. This time when 10 kings will mingle and pervert the human race with an awful substance. Recombinant DNA. Look it up, study it for yourself. It is scary, it is horrible, it is wicked. CRISPR. Chimerous, which is actually a mixture of part human, part animal, that they are working on at this present hour. You are aware, are you not, that in China, there is a child, at least one child, I think maybe it's two now, that have three human beings for parents. That is, they have DNA from two fathers, one mother. It's a mixing up of the human race against the laws of God. It talks about it there in Daniel 2, 42 to 43, as well as Revelation 17, 12. Revelation 13, 4, the worship of Lucifer. In 2012, in America, there was one satanic temple erected. Today, there are many of them. And I don't know what it's like here in Alberta and in Canada, but I know in the United States, there are many clubs that go to public school. There are many public schools, let me put it this way. There are many public schools who have clubs that after school hours, the clubs get together and worship Satan. Are you aware of that? Is that happening up here? All in keeping with what the Bible says will happen. They will bow down and worship Lucifer as God. A man by the name of Lil Nas made 600, he's a Satan worshiper, a worshiper of Lucifer, Recently, he made 666 satanic shoes. Each pair of shoes has one drop of blood in their leather. They are Luciferian shoes. He went online and he advertised these satanic shoes, and the children went crazy over them. He sold 665 of them in less than 1 minute online. He wanted to keep one for himself. You see where the children are headed today? Just what the book of Revelation says, they will worship the devil. Daniel 8, deception and apostasy and false prophets will abound on every hand. And I think we see that. You talk about people being, nations being deceived concerning God's plan for the nation of Israel. You see nations being deceived about God's holy, keeping God's day, special day holy. You see nations being deceived about when human life begins. And the list goes on and on and on. Deception like we have never, ever witnessed on the face of this earth is running rampant in our world today. Well, so much for that. I could say a whole lot more, but let's move on to the secretness of his coming. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Many years ago, we used to get the Reader's Digest in our home when it was worth getting. We long ago discontinued that because of, well, it's just hardly worth reading anymore. But back then, there was a story in 1 month that I will never forget. It was a story of a man named Orestes Lorenzo. Orestes Lorenzo was a man from Cuba. And he secretly somehow managed to get into Florida. He had a wife and two children. But he somehow left those families and smuggled himself into Florida to start earning a living, and he told his wife and his children, I'll come back for you when I get rich. And here in Florida, he did get a job, and eventually he got pilot license, and he got a plane, and he got quite wealthy. And he sent a secret message back to his family, his wife in Cuba, and he said, I am coming for you secretly. I'm asking you to be standing on such and such an intersection in such a country road, and I'm asking you to be dressed in fluorescent orange. So when I land there secretly, you're right there and you get in my plane and we're back to Florida. And that illustrates so wonderfully well. God prospered his plans. He flew 50 feet over the Miami waves into Cuba, rescued his family, and took them back to this great land of freedom. Jesus has told us, I want you to be standing on the highway of holiness. I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. I want you to be standing on the highway of holiness, and I want you to be clothed in white raiment. I want you to be living a holy life. I want you to be cleansed from all your iniquity. I'm coming for you, and you've got to be ready because it's all going to take place very quickly. The secretness of his coming. He's coming, the Bible says, as a thief in the night. When a thief comes and to someone's house, he never rings the doorbell. He never knocks on the door. He comes quietly. And what does he come for? He comes for the valuable treasures that are in that house, doesn't he? Whether it's gold, silver, pearls, guns, whatever he sees as valuable, that's what he's going to take. The Bible clearly teaches Jesus coming for the church secretly. And the Bible clearly teaches him coming with great power and great glory, bringing the saints with him. Of which time, the Bible says, every eye will see him coming. When he comes for the church, the Bible says it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth. So quick is he coming. But when he comes to save Israel in great power and great glory at the end of the tribulation, people, every eye will see him coming. And the Bible says great men are going to cry for the rocks and the mountains, hide us from the face of him that cometh. We're not zeroing in on that coming tonight. We're zeroing in on his coming as a thief to snatch away his chosen beloved bride, who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. She's clothed in garments of white, and she's walking on the highway of holiness, looking and expecting the Lord Jesus to come to gather his own unto himself. The swiftness of his coming, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, says he's coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In Matthew 24, I already said, referred to this, verse 27, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so it shall be when Jesus comes for his bride. My friends, tonight, when Jesus comes for his church, there'll be no time to repent. There'll be no time for reconciliation. There'll be no time to go to your uncle and say, I'm sorry, I lied to you 15 years ago. There'll be no time to go to your wife and say, honey, I'm sorry, I was unfaithful to you. There'll be no time to go to your wife and say, honey, I'm sorry, I was looking at some pictures I should have never ever looked at. No time for that. There'll be no time for children and teenagers and adolescents to go to their parents and say, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I had some feelings, some thoughts towards you that were very rebellious. Will you forgive me? There'll be no time for that. In fact, there'll be no time for any church congregation to get their feet washing tubs out of up there in the balcony or up there in the attic and in keeping with the commandments of God. Hey, brother and sister, we better wash one another's feet like the Bible says before this all happens. There'll be no time for that. No time for reconciliation. No time to burn your ungodly Egyptian stuff you have hidden. No time to repent of your pornography. No time to repent of your rock music that you've got hidden up there in the attic. No time for those cigarettes that are hidden somewhere in your possession. No time. Not even any time to change your clothes into the righteousness of Jesus Christ. No time, no time. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. Just blink your eyes, just that quick. That quick, that quick, Jesus will come, gather his own unto himself, those who are ready to meet him. Last but not least, the separation at his coming. And this is a personal matter. Matthew 25 tells us the sheep and the goats will be separated forevermore. And you know what, my friends? I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God loves us so much that the Father gave Jesus, the Son, permission to send out his Holy Spirit to Grasslands Christian Fellowship tonight. Listen carefully. God loves us so much that he allowed Jesus to send his Spirit to Grasslands Christian Fellowship tonight to give comfort and consolation to all of God's children. and to bring conviction on anybody here who is not ready to answer the call to come up hither. There's a song in the Christian hymnal. Most people don't know it. I don't know why we don't sing it, but we're not going to sing it tonight. I will read it. It's a plea to consider. There's a lot of questions in this song I want us to think about and be sensitive to that Spirit of God that Jesus sent to this little audience tonight to help us be prepared for the sounding of the trumpet. Where is thy hope, poor sinner? What are you going to do? Hope is a God-given anchor, lavished so freely on you. If it is fixed in the Savior, on that bright shore you will land. But if in sin you still linger, sad your end. Where is thy refuge, sinner? Look where your pathway will end. Repent or perish forever. Awful destruction's at hand. Heaven or hell you are choosing, fixing and sealing your fate. God in his mercy refusing, lost too late. What can you plead, poor sinner? In the great judgment day, heaven now offers you favor. Oh, do not cast it away. Slighted, the warnings repeated, leave you in Satan's control, and with all heaven rejected, lost your soul. Where will you go, poor sinner? How will your soul escape? Think of thy lot when forever cast in the dark burning lake. If then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember you've chosen to be there, lost forever, lost forever. Oh, how sad. Let's pray. Father,